1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Stocks rallied today after Federal Reserve Board Chairman Jerome Powell outlined the current status of the economy at his inaugural remarks in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Powell said that the Fed is prepared to start cutting its key interest rate from its 23-year high. CBS News contributor Javier David.
The Fed really recognizes that the economy is in a different place. We are far away from the 9% inflation print that we got in 2022.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has suspended his race for the White House and thrown his support behind former President Trump. American University professor Todd Belt says the impact of this action is hard to predict.
This is still a very, very close race. The race in 2020, don't forget, was decided by 43,000 votes across three states. So just a little bit can make a big difference.
Several people have been killed and injured in a knife attack at a festival in the German city of Solingen. The details are still being worked out. CBS News Brief, I'm Linda Kenyon.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell in Chicago. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin is promising to protect Social Security and Medicare and taking Donald Trump to task for proposing cuts.
He's talking about cutting Social Security and Medicare while giving a huge new tax break to billionaires and corporations. Well, Kamala Harris is not going to let that happen.
Baldwin gave a short speech at the Democratic convention last night. She's running for re-election against Republican Eric Hovde. The universities of Wisconsin will ask for $855 million when Governor Evers and lawmakers start work on the next two-year state budget next spring. The Board of Regents approved President Jay Rothman's spending blueprint yesterday. It includes millions to fix up or replace older buildings. Faculty and staff would get pay raises. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. You can help develop a Safe Streets and Roads for All safety action plan in Portage County. There's a virtual kickoff meeting next week to discuss ways to significantly reduce or eliminate roadway fatalities and serious injuries for all users. This includes motorists, bicyclists, and pedestrians. This SS4A safety action plan is funded by a grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation and Federal Highway Administration. The virtual meeting is on August 27th from 3 to 4 p.m. You can find out more by calling 715-343-6289. There's a new tool for monitoring water quality. The DNR announced the Wisconsin Water Explorer. It's a web-based tool located on the DNR website. It can help you address concerns about the quality of water in your local lake or river. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers face the Oakland A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a three-game series tonight in Oakland. They got shut out yesterday in St. Louis 3-0. The Cardinals' Miles Michaelis held the crew to just a pair of hits through six innings. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I coached Miles in 2013 in Tucson. I know a lot about him, and I know his ability to pitch. He went overseas and with the Texas Rangers, really learned how to pitch, and then all of a sudden really learned some things, and then got a big contract. He's been a great pitcher, and he's very capable of that, and he dominated us today.
High school football, over 360 high school teams kick off their season tonight as part of the statewide WIAA competition. NFL, Packers and Ravens tomorrow at Lambeau Field, kickoff at noon. Matt LaFleur.
It's always great to go against a competitive team like the Baltimore Ravens, one of the premier teams in the National Football League. We're just looking to competing against them and getting better today.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the low 60s. Mostly sunny, warmer and more humid tomorrow, a high in the mid-80s. Slight storm chance Saturday night. Sunny, hot and humid, high upper 80s to 90 Sunday. Hot and humid again on Monday, storms Monday night. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Good afternoon, everybody. Hope it is treating you good. We're here with you for the next hour to have some fun. You've got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Michael Carmer. Michael, good to have you with us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be back here with you, James.
We're here to have some fun and take your phone call, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. If you're listening on the Civic Media app, you're just a touch or two away. We're looking forward to talking with you with your sports thoughts and feelings as we get ready for the week zero of the college football season. Wrapping up and letting go of the preseason and getting ready for the NFL regular season. We've got baseball conversation to have. We'll get into all of this. Michael and I were just talking in the pregame about a couple of things we wanted to go over. I thought an interesting topic is the Heisman Trophy contenders for 2024, in part because there is no real face of college football this year. And I always find it interesting when that happens. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But we want to get right into high school football right now, and high school sports, really. And Michael, you were telling me something as we got going here and everything that I hadn't heard earlier about one of our local coaches.
Yeah, longtime baseball coach at Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln, Bob Galletta. He is officially retired from coaching. 31 years at Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln. He's got over, I believe it was 400 career wins. I wrote the story, but I just can't remember right now. he was a teacher in the district, and he formally put in the paperwork for the spring. And I was sitting there for a while thinking, well, a lot of times when you're done teaching, you're done coaching, and a lot of times they like to keep that in-house, the athletic directors and the administration, and just took a little bit longer, and Bob's officially retired, and I don't know if he's listening, but if he is, and if his friends, family are listening, let him know, but Bob was a teacher of mine back when I was at Lincoln High School. I graduated, 2006, believe it or not. I'm just a kid, in the words of Bobby Bowden, just a kid. He was a great teacher, psychology, a lot of great conversations back that I remember in high school. He was always quick with a joke, just a real quick joke. As you'd see him at the end of the day, hi, Mr. Glitta. Oh, good morning. This is seventh hour. It's right before we go home. Yeah. Good morning. Okay,
I forgot all about that. Yeah,
and just all kinds of just quick wit jokes.
Good guy.
Joel, just an awesome guy, and in everything that I do with on the radio and the writing, always it's never about him. Mm-hmm. I made this decision and this is why we won. No. Mm-hmm. It's never been that way. Mm-hmm. And it's like when he got that win accomplishment this year, early on in the season, he says, yeah, I'd be a liar if I said this number doesn't mean anything to me and I'm happy to get it. But it's because of the hard work and the sacrifice and the dedication of all the athletes and the assistant coaches over the years and the administration and the parents. It's our record. It's not my record. It's everybody's record. And that really stood out to me, because that's one thing that I've noticed. And it's not just a Lincoln thing. It's Assumption. It's Port. It's Nakusa. That these coaches, these teachers, and there's some legendary ones. I mean, obviously Scott Bennett's and Pat McDonald and Dan Wittery. He's retired from basketball at Lincoln, and I understand everything with that too. But that's the one thing that they all say. They said, "Yeah, I get the recognition and the criticism, of course.
Right.
But any of the recognition, anything that we do, wins, losses, whatsoever, this is because of the kids.
Yeah.
I get the recognition." But it's not mine, it's them. And that's something that Bob and Dan and Scott and Scott Thurber down in Nakusa Wrestling, everybody has that. And that's just refreshing. And there's obviously going to be someone new there. And I look forward to meeting him or her, for that matter. Mm. But it's could be neat getting that new relationship. And it's going to be, there's kind of the uncertainty of, I wonder who it's going to be. If someone I know, is it someone brand new? Kind of forge that new relationship. But either way, to Bob Galletta, thank you for everything from me personally, class of 06, and professionally, sports-wise, thank you for everything. And personally, educationally, thank you so much.
Class of 96 at Lincoln here. Bob taught me in psychology and was really good with me. I was a knucklehead back then, and he couldn't have handled me. Yeah, right on. He was great with me. He was a good guy. I appreciate not only his efforts and what he put into this community and all the work that he did, both as teaching and coaching, not to mention the different things that he did in the community as far as, nonprofits and some of those things that he did.
And the youth sports, the youth baseball, huge. He's been huge with that.
It's a wild thing when we talk about sports and we talk about the different layers to it. And we actually have a harder time imagining an NFL player, an NBA player, or a coach, or any of these guys. Well, why wouldn't they do a job like that? They're paid millions of dollars to do a kids game and these kind of things. And we kind of when they retire early or some of these things happen. Patrick Willis comes to mind. Chris mm-hmm. Borland, yep. a perfect example. Well, why would he do that?
Jim Brown?
Any of these things. Whereas on the high school level, we can't help but sit in awe of these guys that put so much time and effort out of their personal lives into these jobs and into coaching these kids and being out there and everything, where we marvel at, wow, I can't believe they do that. I can't believe they willingly do that. And we are so appreciative to these high school coaches out there, these different, not only the coaches, but the athletic trainers, all the different people that work so hard to do something essentially for free in many ways, you know, where you compare to the pro game when you compare to this.
Right.
Now, they would tell you they're getting paid in passion. They're getting paid in love. They don't need money.
They get to be around the game that they love every day.
And I think that's where the relatability comes in so much more for us as fans and us that aren't necessarily involved in some of those things. We get that. We relate to that. And I think it's part of what pulls us to high school sports so much and part of what we love about this time of year so much. Although it is a little tougher for us Lincoln grads after yesterday.
Well, I will agree if you're just looking at it from a score and an end result.
Yeah.
But having watched that team last year, and they returned quite a bit. They lost a bunch, but they returned quite a bit too. Lincoln's going to be fine. River Falls missed a 33-yard field goal to start the game. Rapids, three plays. They march down the field, score a touchdown. River Falls ties it. Then they take lead. Then Rapids ties it up. But that, you know, looking at the box score, that 21-point second quarter to take a 28-14 lead at halftime and then 17 points to nothing in the fourth quarter, River Falls. River Falls eventually just wore them down. Mm. And, Randy and I talked about that. It's Rapids, I think, will be okay. River Falls is a good team next week. Yeah, it could be a rough one, too. Rice Lake is equally good. They beat DC Everest 44-17 at Steam Stadium in Schofield, but you learn a lot by playing tough teams, and that's one thing that Coach Biolo did talk to me about was what do we gain coming in and playing teams that have no work that we are superior to other than honing our skills and working on our depth. We don't learn anything. We don't get put in adversity. We go out there and we just beat them.
Not to switch sports or leagues here, but that is something that I hear a lot when it comes to our men's soccer team, the USA soccer team right now, and where we, even if we do get a good coach for that team, we already missed out on our opportunity to really hone these players and get them good by playing good teams. Right now, the only teams we can play are in North America here, and none of them are really that good. Canada's okay, but it's a similar
Mexico's
kind of thing. It's not bad, but we're not going to be able to get, like, really see how good we are against a Brazil, against an England, or something like
Germany,
that.
Germany, Spain, Portugal,
it's
whatever.
A similar thing here where if you are a Lincoln alum, if you want to see this team do good, you want to see them play teams like this. You want to see how they do against the good teams. I would think that almost anybody would take that opportunity. It is going to be interesting to see how they do throughout the season when we get into some of these division games too, but I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves.
No.
You mentioned Rice Lake. That's going to be an interesting one next Thursday, 7 o'clock for that one. As far as tonight, in a little while, you're going to have Assumption and Markesan. Yeah, I always say that wrong. Assumption and Markesan kicking off at 7. Nakusa at Poinette, 7 o'clock for that one. And Pittsville at Marathon, 7 o'clock for that one. All interesting games.
Yeah, Nakusa and Poinette. It's funny. Poinette was part of the South Central Conference last year. Well, after the reshuffle of leagues, Poinette's gone wherever they are now. I wrote it down. I can't remember for the life of me. But Nakusa's back at the South Central Conference. Nakusa has about 40 kids out. They have, like I said, new defensive coordinator, new defensive philosophy. That was John Russell from Lincoln. So it's going to be Lincoln's defense performed by Nakusa now, which is kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a lot of respect for John, known him a long time. Mm-hmm. So want to see how Nakusa does. Last year, they were in a bunch of games, 1 point or 1 score trailing by the start of the fourth quarter. just ran out of steam. But these are a lot of seniors on this team are four-year starters, and whether they should have been or not is neither here nor there because just things were tough in that program for a little bit with numbers and transitioning from coaching staffs and what have you. So Nakusa's going to be an interesting one. I'd like to see I'm going to be keeping an eye on that, but I'm also keeping an eye on that Assumption one. Assumption, about 20 kids out, nine kids, the largest class on that team, sophomores, who also played quite a bit as freshmen. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do with the Hornets there for Marcus Hand. So we'll see what they do. I mean, it could be a long year for the Royals. It could be just based on the depth aspect of it. But there's talent on that team that they should win a few games. And then Pittsville, you know, Pittsville's, it's going to be interesting. That new look, it's crossover CWC small to CWC large there with Marathon back. It was Marathon, correct?
Yeah.
Marathon being moved out of the old Merrowood because Merrowood's defunct now. But
that's right,
I still don't like that. But yeah,
I don't either. No. I will say that it's hard to get too bent out of shape when you look at college football. And I mean, what division is anybody in anymore? I mean, good luck keeping up with that year to year.
I never once in my life would have said, oh, Washington to USC are now in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And Arizona's in the Big 12, which I can believe, and Colorado went back. Okay, that's fine. But Stanford and the Atlantic Coast Conference?
None of it makes sense.
I mean, I know California might slip into the ocean someday, but it's still the Pacific Ocean, not the Atlantic.
Like it. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, out of all the things I'm not good at, geography's not one of them. I know geography, and that doesn't make any sense.
No, none of it does. It really started going wild when Rutgers came into the Big Ten. I think
it was a little bit
of an outlier of okay, this is the way things are going.
That one with pairing Rutgers with Maryland, that one made sense. And Mizzou going to the SEC. Okay, Nebraska going to the Big Ten. Okay, I can see that. Now West Virginia going to the Big 12. That's stretching things a little bit.
Well, you know, they did this even before that with Penn State coming into the Big Ten.
Right.
That kind of opened the door for Rutgers, Maryland, and once that happened, they were okay. They were like, "Well, it doesn't matter anymore. We're going to go ahead and put USC in the Big Ten."
I'll do one better for you, quick, before we get here. I'll do one better. The dissolving of the Southwestern Conference, Arkansas going to the SEC, the Texas schools going to the Big 12, and the I think it was CUSA.
It really messed all of it up, really. Let's take a call. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Well, all the conferences are screwed up.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. I mean, it's just, I'd rather have seen, I mean, I know that the Big Ten is trying to make the conference stronger so they can compete with the SEC. But why bring California teams in and then have teams from the East Coast? That doesn't make sense. I mean, I really think they have, Notre Dame is going to have to really start thinking about their situation a little bit too with the conferences and need to get into a good conference. And really, I think the Big Ten should really start working on them, because I mean, I think adding Notre Dame for football will be a great thing in the Big Ten.
Does anybody? Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was going to say I totally agree with the caller. I absolutely agree. The problem is when you look at other sports, Notre Dame's traditionally an athletic coast conference. That's generally where they shade. And you look at their scheduling. Yeah, there's quite a few Big Ten now with obviously USC coming on board and Washington from time to time and UCLA, but Michigan State, Purdue, or as Randy calls it, Purdue. So I mean, I understand, and at that point, the Big Ten to the SEC or to ACC, it's a horse apiece. Join a conference. I totally agree, and that's one thing that I've been saying for a long time. Join a conference. Quit being Switzerland here. Just go ahead and do it. But I guess the only clarification I'd make is it's probably going to be the ACC over the Big Ten.
Go ahead.
But was Notre Dame, though, they're in the Big Ten in hockey?
Yep.
Yes. That is true. That is absolutely true. I always forget about that.
Yeah.
And they are a Midwest team. So,
yes.
I mean, you know, people are saying, well, what about Iowa State? Well, I mean, they're –
There's always going to be better. A what about. There's always what about this team? Yeah. What about that team?
Yeah. What do they bring? What do they bring academically? Which they're pretty good aeronautics. I mean, I give them that. Right. And then of course you have athletically. I mean, wrestling, basketball, football's hit and miss. But what else is there? You know, there's so many rabbit holes we can go down with that.
I think that with when I look at Notre Dame, I think of actually the state of Texas. And for those that don't know, a little quick history lesson. Texas at one point stretched all the way up to Idaho. It was that big. And they felt they were too big to fail, and that America would actually want them to combine with them. Their own country, and America is its own country. And we're going to work together in all this. And Texas lasted about a day doing that before it almost ate itself. And it slowly had to sell parts of its state because it was running. It was in debt. It was in debt after this, after this. They start selling more and more, and eventually we get Texas to where we have it right now. Now, they did hang on enough in the negotiations with the founding fathers and all that to actually become a part of the union. They were able to hang on to that little slice right there next to Oklahoma. But that was about it. Otherwise, the only thing that Texas got from the negotiations was our capital has to be as tall as the one in D.C. That's it.
Yep.
They came to the negotiation with a ton of land and a whole lot to offer to the country and everything. And they left with just barely hanging on to their state. Notre Dame, to me, I actually think it's the opposite. I think Notre Dame needs to make a decision and needs to reach out to the Big Ten. Yeah. I think they need to be going out of their way to be doing these things because outside of Notre Dame fans, nobody looks at that team like they do. Nobody looks at that team. I don't know if you can name a team outside of maybe in Alabama and one maybe other team that is college football royalty anymore. The traditions and some of these things that really held these teams up, that was a long time ago. Notre Dame ain't won anything in a long time. And every year we see them in the top five, top 10 rankings. And when's the last time they finished in the top 10 or the top five rankings? They continue continue to believe their own hype. And along with some sports writers out there, they're the only ones believing it. There's not many kids out there that want to play at Notre Dame anymore. Because of a number of different factors and I call them a franchise because let's be honest, college football is a league. They're not what they used to be, and the idea that they could just sit there and be independent any longer is insanity. Like they're going to be in a situation where they're begging to join one of these conferences if somebody doesn't pull them up quick, because Rutgers, Maryland, some of these smaller ranking teams, they made that decision. They joined. The Big Ten is only going to take so many teams. The SEC is only going to take so many teams until we get to this point where they're the only two dogs in town. Yeah. Then it'll be different. But right now, if I'm a Notre Dame athletic director, one of the first calls I'm making every morning, I'm that annoying guy calling up the girl. Hey, dude, what are you doing Friday? Hey, what are you doing Friday? Like I'm asking because I'm bugging them because I need to get into the Big Ten. I can't go into the SEC. I would never survive the SEC.
Nope.
I don't know if Notre Dame would survive the ACC. That team is never really proven anything to me. In my lifetime, I don't know that I've ever seen Notre Dame. They've had some great players. They've had some years where they were good.
Lou Holtz time. I mean, they were very good then. The Catholics versus convicts,
But I have, in my lifetime, I have never seen that team live up to its hype.
No.
And it's only gotten worse as we've gotten older. So I agree with you about the Big Ten thing. I just, the only little nitpicking I'll do on it is I think it's the phone call needs to go the other way. Notre Dame needs to be calling the Big Ten and reaching out to them and like, hey, what do we got to do to make this right? We were just messing around. We were just playing hard to get. We'd actually really love to be in the Big Ten. Please take us into the Big Ten. Please take us.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, what I'm looking at, you know, this might be actually playing more, the more you talk about it, James, that playing into the hands of Notre Dame, because now these conferences aren't there, when it comes to the going for the national championship and, they pick their eight teams or whatever it is. They're not taking conference championships anymore. Mm-hmm. So Notre Dame might be sitting on the outside looking in saying, okay, if I'm not in a conference, I still might have a better chance of making it into the playoff because they're not taking the conference champions anymore.
I see your point. Yeah. And that could really benefit them if they're good. if they're good, that could really benefit them, which they could be. And I think that's a very strong point. We'll see what they do. I do think that's a great note. I wanted to look up the article that college football playoff is not going to be used for conference titles as tiebreakers. So that certainly is a huge part going into the decision making of the 12 teams that make it. And that I don't want to take things in a different direction if you guys don't want to go in it, but I am curious because I haven't really heard from many people yet about how they feel about a 12-team playoff. It feels like it's big news. It feels like it's something that we really, really, you know, should be paying attention to, but I don't hear anybody talking about it really. When the news broke year ago or whatever, it was talked about, but now I think this is actually I'm more excited about this than I was a 4-team. I would have preferred an 8. I think 8 would have been perfect. 12 is a little much, but it was going to go there anyway eventually, so fine, just get to it now and we don't have to wait 5 years. But I think it's kind of exciting, actually.
Hell, you know, well, James, I think we can all sing the song together because it's all about money, 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 money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I personally, I didn't like when it was decided by the sports writers on who was 1 and 2 at the end of the bowl games. BCS, I actually didn't really have a problem with the BCS. When it went to the 2 teams, well, okay, that really ruined it for me when it was LSU-Alabama. And even then, some of that BCS wasn't, emphasis on BS wasn't right either. And I go back to 2008 when it was Ohio State-LSU playing for a title game when Oklahoma just walked through the Big 12 and they just knocked off the number one team of the nation to win the Big 12.
Right.
Well, they should have been at least a 2 and Ohio State would have been a 1, have them play, but that was that slobbering all over the SEC.
Oh, yeah.
But a 4 team, not anymore, it's not anymore fair. An 8 team wouldn't be a 12 team. It's turning into the NCAA basketball tournament where it's like an Oprah show. You get in, yep. Everybody gets in, and unfortunately that's where you start getting your participation trophies and everybody's a winner. And no, it needs to be streamlined a little bit. But the problem is the NCAA is not making their money on it, so it's you're going to see it only expand.
Yeah, Kev, did you have some?
Well, I mean, it's going to make it easier for some of these teams, you know, 2-loss teams to get into the playoffs and things like this. And the way they're lining these conferences up now, maybe 12 could be okay. But the thing is, though, what's going to happen? An Alabama or an LSU or a Michigan or Ohio State, they might finish 13th in voting. Well, now we got to change it again because these teams aren't making it into, you know,
yeah.
So I don't think it's ever going to really ever be the right way, the way, you know, things happen.
Yeah. I think you got to kind of treat it like you're a relief pitcher or you're a kicker in the NFL. Rent. Don't own. Rent. Rent your home. Rent your space in college sports right now as far as where you put your allegiances or anything like that when it comes to any of these things. Or even understanding the way that this is going to work. Because they're trying to figure it out themselves. The NCAA is a house of cards. And it is barely held together. It is held together by a lot of old school mentality and money and a lot of like ego, a lot of ego. And when they're making these decisions and they're doing these things, they want you to look like the house is put together very good, but it's not. And I mean, we could have a college football championship and at the same time talking about, well, that NCAA thing, that was pretty interesting while that lasted, and that's done. I don't think any one of us would be shocked if we, you know, on SportsCenter, the breaking news, NCAA has disbanded. What are they doing anymore? Other than these weak-ass attempts at trying to take away, titles or something like that, that don't add up to anything, that don't actually accomplish anything. When we actually could use a governing body right now with NIL and transfers and the way coaches can just pick up and leave at the drop of a hat and some of these things, with no accountability, by the way. Some of that stuff goes on. We could use the NCAA. We could actually use somebody looking out for these kids a little bit. bit. Like, hey, that agent may not be looking out for the best for you. Don't sign that NIL deal. Or we've heard a couple of examples already of some kids who walked away from a scholarship because this quote-unquote agent told them to and didn't have their best interest in mind. We really could use a governing body right now. But we've got a darn it, I can't think of his name. It would have been really good if I could have remembered his name right there. But what's his name from Andy Griffith's show? Darn it.
Barney Fife?
Yes, yes. We could. That's what we got. We need right. Magnum. We need like an actual real cop right now, a real actual person doing the job. And what we got is Barney Fife just leaving the gate open all the time. It's going to be, and they're not going to get out of their own way with this either. Because again, coming back to the biggest thing the NCAA has going for it is its ego in itself and believing that they are truly still what they used to be 40, 50 years ago and everything. I don't know how that's going to end, but it ain't going to end with the kids benefiting.
No, but in Barney Fife's defense, he wasn't the same man after Juanita.
You know, it's understandable. It's understandable.
I mean, I understand.
Yeah, nobody talks about that, but it's true. It's very true.
It was behind the music.
Do you have anything else on your mind?
No, just I'm just pumped for college football to start. I mean, yeah. We're 1 week away from Wisconsin's opening night at Camp Randall. The first week in October can't get here fast enough because that's when I'm going to go down to the Badger game, right to the on. Purdue game.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I'm ready for college football. I know I'm going to be glued tomorrow between flipping back and forth from the Florida State Georgia Tech game to the Packer game tomorrow. So
yeah, that game, I'm excited about that one too. I got a old friend that's a big Georgia Tech fan, and my best friend is a Florida State fan, so I'm just going to be sitting there eating my popcorn while watching the two of them devour each other on that. That Oklahoma Temple game for some reason looks interesting to me too. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because it's Oklahoma. I don't know.
Right. And
it's just college football. I'll be honest, it's college football.
One of the blue bloods, so to speak.
I'll get into the Kansas Lindwood game at some point because it's college football. I'm just happy to have any here. I hear you on that one, man, and appreciate the call as always. Have a great weekend, Kev.
All right, you guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, man.
Michael and I will be back with more show coming up here on Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Rapids.
Summer is here and the sun is unforgiving. Be your child's hero this summer by keeping them safe in the summer heat and don't miss a beat. WAM Incorporated is here to help. Summer is for family trips, team championships, and long days at the beach. Design your child or team's gear in a flash with fully customizable polyester shirts and shorts. Call 715-423-9465 for WAM Incorporated today and get back out into the summer sun and enjoy the adventure without the burn.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. For decades, it's been a family secret. And if you weren't a blood relative, well, you never got a taste. Until now. Barbecue season is here. Get the rich, original Grandpa's Barbecue. It's a classic. Reliable. Just like Grandpa. Apparently, some family secrets are meant to be shared. Buy yours online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the low 60s. Mostly sunny, warmer, and more humid tomorrow, a high in the mid-80s. Slight storm chance Saturday night. Sunny, hot, and humid, high upper 80s to 90 Sunday. Hot and humid again on Monday, storms Monday night. Right now, it's 78 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. As long as we're talking a little college football here, I came across an interesting topic the other day of Heisman Trophy contenders for 2024. And I thought this was interesting in part because I looked at this list and I recognized a handful of names and quite a few names on there. And I'm sure they'll be familiar to a lot of you out there. But I thought about this, and it doesn't happen very often where we have a college football season and there isn't necessarily a face of college football. There isn't somebody, well, we know this guy is a Heisman contender for sure, or this guy and this team is going to be this type of good.
Right.
There really isn't, especially with the uncertainty of Alabama and that. You could look at Georgia, certainly, and say, well, I imagine that Georgia's going to win 10 games. You know, some things like that.
Texas quarterback is one that's coming. I think that's yours. Yours.
Yes,
and that pains
yes.
me to say that. Longhorns down.
Yeah.
Saw him off. Right, don't have anything good to say about him, but yours, yeah.
So, interesting you bring him up. Looking at this list, and this is coming from Sports Illustrated. You can find it right there if you like it, sports.si.com. Well, it still exists, at least. I don't know how much longer that's going to happen, but Dillon Gabriel from Oregon is the top guy ranked right now.
Left Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I almost forgot about that. So and within that offense, I think that they're looking at a Bo Nix kind of situation where, you know, he excels in all these thousands of yards and everything. Carson Beck out of Georgia is the next guy up. I can see that. And right nipping at their heels is Quinn Ewers from Texas. I think that's an interesting one in part because of who his backup is, and with Manning back there, and to his credit, has not left, like stayed there, even though he knew he was not going to get the starting job and everything. Nowadays you seem to hear a guy leaving for that. Money does help,
but at the same time, he's a Manning, so you know he has it anyways. So yeah. I mean, what's the money really mean? It could be the prestige. It could be him saying, "I'm making it my own way."
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I hate myself that this occurred to me fifth out of this list. Maybe he likes it there.
It's University of Texas. No one likes it.
Set you up for that one. Will Howard from Ohio State is up there next. You've got Jalen Moreau from Alabama. Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, a sneaky one there.
Yep. Yeah.
I hadn't thought of him, but that kid is pretty good, and that should be a pretty fun offense to see with Lane Kiffin and everything. Cameron Ward from Miami is going to wrap up the list that I'm looking at here. You got a couple of other names on the outside. I do think that every season we do see somebody come out of nowhere and kind of show up and end up in New York, at least as a runner-up, if anything else. But it's not only interesting to me. It was something that stood out to me where I don't. Awards don't mean what they used to me personally or to when I watch them or anything. But for some reason, that Heisman Trophy, man, that still means something to me. I still go out of my way to see who's in the running for it or who's going to win it. There's something about that particular trophy more than I'm not talking about championships, but individual awards.
Right.
I think it's really the only one I care about anymore. And I feel that's weird to me.
At the college level, or are we talking all sports?
I think in all sports, actually.
I don't know. There's something to be said about the Cy Young.
Absolutely.
There's something to be said about the Cy Young. I would argue, what's the hockey one? Not the Hobie Baker, is it?
That's a good one, but are you talking about the Dylan Smythe award?
Yeah, that might be. Yeah. That might be what I was thinking of. But because at the high school level, it's the Hobie Baker award.
Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. Or if you're in the band, it's the John Philip Sousa award.
Right.
You know, something like that. There's still some prestige with it that... Yeah, Heisman, that one's not going to go away. There's no way around it. But I don't think neither is the Cy Young. And I think anymore, unfortunately, in the NFL, the MVP, I think that's one that's really kind of tailed off. Because everyone has, well, what about this guy? What about that guy? What about that guy? What about this guy? Yeah.
I think I'm wording this wrong. I think that it means a lot to others and to the society in general. Me personally, I don't get bent out of shape about these anymore. Who wins or who what? But with the Heisman Trophy, I still find myself getting passionate and energized about it. And I think that this guy should definitely win or something like that. I don't know why that particular trophy still hits me that way. But all the other ones, I'm not. I was looking at the MLB awards. And I was looking at the runner, the predictions and who they think is going to win and some
Gold
of this.
Gold gloves, silver slugger, platinum gloves.
And I noticed I was more interested in those last ones you mentioned, the golden glove and the silver slugger, than I really was in the MVP or any of that. That all seemed kind of boring to me.
I agree with you on that the more that I'm thinking about it, because I couldn't tell you. I mean, I really couldn't tell you who's really won too much of that, because by then it's I'm so wrapped up in football and high school sports. I've got a big head from what I've been told, and but it runs out of space from time to time. And man, I couldn't tell you the Silver Sluggers or the gold or platinum gloves or anything like that. But I can tell you a couple Heisman Trophy winners.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And similar to our Kevin and what we're kind of, I think, getting across here, we're just excited about college football. Whatever happens, happens. Want to get to our stat of the show real quick here. And it is keeping us in football. And I have a feeling that if you guys don't know this one out there, you're going to like hearing it again. Betting on age is the term that they put up here. In 2010, Brett Favre became the first and to this date the only active player to also be a grandfather when his oldest daughter gave the family his first grandchild. The NFL confirmed this stat to be true. So Favre is technically the only player up to this day, even to this day in 2024, to be playing in the NFL as an actual grandfather. And I, as a soon-to-be grandpa, love this stat. I was also kind of shocked by that. I don't know why. I don't know. I guess, you know, outside of your Tom Brady's and a couple of guys that have made it until older age into the NFL, it shouldn't be that surprising. The average life, NFL career span of an NFL player is 4 years, I believe.
It depends on the position.
But for the overall, I found that really interesting. And it's another stat of another career achievement of Brett Favre's that I didn't even think about it.
The only grandpa.
It's pretty good. That's a pretty good one. And there was one other thing that I definitely wanted to touch on from the NFL. Oh, the cuts. That's right. I wanted to get an NFL cuts. That is going to be coming up next week. NFL teams got to knock down their rosters. I'm not sure if how many Packer fans out there have been paying attention to the division, the battles in the team. It does actually seem like, and this has got to be a good feeling if you're a Packer fan right now, I would think that the biggest question, and not controversy, but the biggest like cue that you've got on that team and you're really trying to figure out and you're paying close attention to the news on is kicker and that kicking position. And that I would think if you're a Packer fan, that's got to be a pretty good feeling considering I'm not saying that there isn't possible questions here and there, but as far as that team goes, you've got, for the second year in a row, the youngest team in the NFL. Which is really incredible to think about. Yep. For 2 years in a row, you have the youngest team in the NFL. But you don't have while you may not have quote-unquote leadership there, or veteran leadership, I'll say, you also don't have any divas necessarily in that locker room that you can tell. You don't have a lot of egos. It really does look like almost like a college team where the coach is more the face of the team than any of the players are. Yeah. And with that, and then you add on the fact that really – from what I've heard from Packer fans, from what I've heard from the media masses out there, the biggest question marks is kicker. Those are pretty good feelings going into the NFL season, I would think. But it does look like that is where we're going to be paying attention to the cuts on Green Bay. Is, you know, it does seem like the Anders is going to be the guy that's going to. I mean, you don't put a fifth round pick on a guy and give up on him after a year or two when he's still hitting them. You know, I know he's missing PATs and some of that, but
who doesn't?
Especially nowadays. I wonder if there's anybody else that is on the bubble for Packer fans out there that you'd like to see make the team or maybe not make the team.
A couple of them that I just pulled this up here because it was kind. I'm surprised you didn't mention it. Who's backup going to be?
Backup QB.
Yeah. Is it going to be Pratt? Is it going to be Clifford, the not big red dog? Is it going to be because neither one's looked great. Especially after the Denver debacle.
Yeah.
But I do believe, reading some of the stuff, it's about a 50-50 on Pratt or Clifford. Running back-wise, and I'm interested to see if A.J. Dillon's played himself off a roster. But with Marshawn Lloyd being hurt, I guess you're going to see a Jacobs, Dillon, Lloyd.
I mean,
let's be honest, there's how many guys trying to get no spots a wide receiver. It's going to be Watson, Reed, Wicks, Dobbs, Melton, and Heath. And there's a couple on there, too, that might be kind of trying to stick around. But tight end, Musgrave. I call him Muskrat.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
but Luke Musgrave, Kraft, Tyler Davis. I mean, those are three very, very good tight ends that, okay, all right. Well, how many linemen are you going to have? I mean, as of right now, people are saying Rashid Walker, left tackle, Elgin Jenkins, left guard or center, Josh Myers, center. It was just nice to see him come off an injury.
Yeah, it is.
Zach Tom, right tackle, Sean Ryan, right guard, left guard. Okay, after that, Royce Newman. Okay, but then there's a few others that people are like, well, we'll see. So, I mean, that's offensively.
I'm going to go a different direction real quick here because I was thinking about it. We've seen a lot of – I mentioned Matt LaFleur, the head coach.
Yeah.
And it does seem like he has made it his team, and he is the face of that team. He has gotten kind of rid of a lot of old veterans, a lot of noise, a lot of that, and become that. But at the same time, the Matt LaFleur we saw in press conferences up until last year is very different to me. And the way he has been in this offseason – I don't know if he is feeling pressure. I don't know if he is just feeling himself or what it might be. But he's come across a number of times like he's trying to be funny, but he's not. Or he's trying to hit a point that he's missing. And I'm wondering how much he is feeling the pressure of that position. And now that he has, what excuses does he have anymore?
None.
And he has this, he's created his team. It is his team. I feel like this is a guy that is in a kind of middle ground right now, and it's prove it or lose it time, and he knows it. And I feel like that there's either, again, he's either feeling this and feels really good about this and is making him feel a little bit more chesty with some of the press conferences and that, or he's feeling the pressure. But either way, it's not a good look, and not especially when this is a team that has no veteran leadership. I shouldn't say that at all. That's not fair to the veterans on that team, and I apologize. They don't have a clear-cut vet on that team that we know when they get together in the middle of the field 5 minutes before they go out there, who's the guy in the middle that's rah-rah
like
everybody.
Like a David Bakhtiari or Randall Cobb, so to speak.
That you've always had.
Right.
There's not that in the locker room. He got rid of that so he could be the big dog in the locker room.
Kenny Clark.
I think there's a good one. I was thinking actually of some linemen too, but I think Kenny Clark's an even better example.
Elgton Jenkins.
That's
be the
first
one
I thought of was Elgton.
Be the two, and I mean, it's kind of weird that you'd have linemen do that, but at the same time, I mean, those are some big boys. And okay, yep, I'll listen to what you have to say. I really don't want to get the consequences here. You know, I'm not scared of anybody, but yeah, I'll listen to what you have to say. I get it.
It's interesting on the other side of it, where whether it's Tua or Jordan Love or some of these kids that have signed big deals, they don't seem to be feeling pressure. They don't.
No.
I mean, especially Tua. Tua's down there living his best life. Like he seems like he's just. I don't know how much he's ready to play football, but he's ready to live.
Oh, yeah,
he's
Tyreek Hill in the same way. Well, Tyreek Hill, I think, wants to win now.
Yeah,
but with the way how things went with Kansas City,
exactly.
And he wants to prove him.
I don't think Tyreek Hill wants to win for Miami. I think he wants to win to shove it into Kansas City's face.
Well, Kansas City's obviously doing pretty good.
Okay. They're okay.
But they're going to be okay. But the one thing I'm kind of interested to see is, the preseason champions. Your Chicago Bears.
Oh,
I mean, Detroit, preseason champions in 2008, and they never won a game.
Yeah.
I mean, Chicago Bears, I'll coin them to 2024 preseason champions, and let's see what happens.
I don't do this very often, but I'm going to go ahead and do this right now. And I've got about, in my pocket, I've got about four Bear cards that I'm going to play. I can play throughout a whole year, not just the NFL season, the whole year. I only get to use them four times a year. I'm going to pull one out right now because I got to say, nobody has heard me talk about the Bears at all. I haven't brought them up. I haven't mentioned anything. But since preseason football began before that, either it's a caller or it's somebody I'm hosting the show with
brings the
Bears up and talks about them being hyped or this or that. You don't hear me hyping them up. I don't hear any Bear fans hyping them up. It's all media. I'm not saying no Bear fan is. obviously, you got knuckleheads in every sport.
Oh, absolutely.
But to the sane Bear fan that I know, we're sitting back and we're waiting. We're hopeful. We have hope for the first time maybe in some of our lifetimes. But I don't know anybody going out there buying a Caleb jersey. I don't see anybody going out there necessarily and doing that. I mean, in the technical sense of I'm going to put money on this team is going to be good this year.
Right.
I will say what does come across to me, I want to take some calls on this one because I think I'm going to fire y'all up on this one. I think for the first time in maybe maybe 10, maybe even longer than that years. What I'm hearing and what I'm feeling from Packer fans, maybe a little bit of nerves. Maybe a little bit of nerves.
It'd be longer than 10 years.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, long time. We're talking 85 probably. But yeah. Even that being said, I'm feeling that from Packer fans. Tell me I'm wrong, guys. Good afternoon. You're on the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, man.
Vikings and Bears and Packer fans might want to watch out because the Lions just signed a big insurance policy at quarterback. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't see.
They signed Jake Fromm.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, I don't even know if that. Well, we don't even have to play the games. I mean, Detroit's got this. Detroit.
but you don't understand. It's Jake Fromm, State Farm.
Oh, there we go.
I'm going to use that one.
Yeah, that's really
using
good.
That's a good one.
That's pretty good.
That's my kind of joke. I love that.
I'm racking my brain like, man, how do I not know who that is? That's good. That was good, brother. Thanks for joining us.
All right, bye.
Have a good one. We'll take our final break. We'll use our final timeout. That's okay. We can make it to the end of the game. Michael and I'll be back with more Playmakers here on WFHR.
Summer is here and the sun is unforgiving. Be your child's hero this summer by keeping them safe in the summer heat and don't miss a beat. Wham! Incorporated is here to help. Summer is for family trips, team championships, and long days at the beach. Design your child or team's gear in a flash with fully customizable polyester shirts and shorts. Call 715-423-9465 for Wham! Incorporated today and get back out into the summer sun and enjoy the adventure without the burn.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison Curdfest rep Peter Nickel. Civic Media's Terry Bell gives us a recap of the DNC, and it's a bar band Friday night featuring Max Inc. Radio's Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the low 60s. Mostly sunny, warmer, and more humid tomorrow, a high in the mid-80s. Slight storm chance Saturday night. Sunny, hot, and humid, high upper 80s to 90 Sunday. Hot and humid again on Monday, storms Monday night. Right now, it's 78 degrees.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome back to WFHR's Playmakers. Call up and get in the game, 715-424-2600, 424-2600. We will take all your sports jokes and puns. Please bring them to us. Love to go into the weekend with a laugh. You guys go ahead and call up and join us here on that one. I got a text immediately from one of my best friends who is a diehard Packer fan, and it just says, stop. Just stop it. That's all he says as far as what I was saying about the Packer fans possibly being nervous. He is shutting that one down right away, and I imagine that he's not the only one. Wanted to look at our sports schedule for you, and it's picking up a little bit more now. Next week, of course, we'll have Playmakers for you on a Monday and Wednesday. Friday as well. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we'll be here with Playmakers from 5 to 6. Looking forward to it. On Wednesday, we've got the Luke Fickell Show kicking off for you at 7:05. Looking forward to that one. I genuinely enjoy hearing him talk.
Me too.
He's a smart guy. He's a guy that likes just knowing stuff and going off in like side tangents sometimes. And
kind of a Mike Leach, so to speak.
Yes,
but less
yes.
Eccentric.
Man, we miss you, Mr. Leach. We're going to miss you, man.
His marriage advice.
yes, I forgot.
You know, he's like, what was it? What color should you... You don't care.
Yeah.
Why are you even there? Go to the bar. Go fishing. Go with your friends. Go out in the garage and make something. You don't care.
One of the many fears that we have about sports when we talk about some of these things. One of them for me is the losing the personality coach.
Oh man.
The Jerry Glanville. These coaches that have those personalities that they're so themselves and
someone
take
keep,
me as I am kind of.
Someone keep an eye on Mike Gundy because he's a man. He's 40.
He's
50 now, I think.
But the way he is, he's been lately. You're definitely right. You got to keep an eye on that man because I don't know if he's going to last the season. Not because of how the team does, but just his own sanity. He doesn't seem like he's doing very well.
Well, with how he's kind of laid down or not laid down, but laid into some of his athletes about, well, they want more NIL money, and he's coming out and really tearing apart the NIL. So what? You're not going to play for me because we can't give you an extra whatever amount of money. You know, I've looked at it sparingly because the whole NIL thing just makes my blood boil.
Yeah, yeah. I see, this is the one of those things where I definitely understand the frustration and some of the concern when it comes to NIL. And especially if you're a fan or you're a talking head or you're paid to talk sports or something like that, I get the concern and I get why it's a talking piece. If you are a coach, whatever you say behind the scenes is your business. But going into a press conference and calling out your players and calling out the NIL or any of this, that is not going to help you recruiting.
That's the razor's edge, man.
I don't know a single person, let alone a young person, that responds to being talked down to.
Oh, I'm 36 years. I'm a man. I'm 36 years old. No, Mike Gundy reference but I'll tell you what. You talk down to me. That's the fastest way for me not to help you for me to give you an attitude or get mad at you.
Same.
You talk down to me. That's it.
And I don't see that being beneficial to him, especially.
No.
I don't think Nick Saban could get away with that. Even Saban understood how to talk to these players.
Saban wasn't stupid. Well, yeah. Neither is Mike Gundy, for that matter.
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone does stupid things. I mean, yeah. I usually do have one every morning when I roll out of bed.
I usually do it on the air. That's my luck. I usually mess up on the air. That's what I do. That's...
But, you know, like I was saying with Gundy, now that's true. I've done that, too. But, you know, Mike Gundy, you know, like I said, he's walking a razor's edge with that. Well, that's a perfect AC/DC reference. Their album, Razor's Edge.
Yes, nice.
And what was the number one song off of that?
Was it Thunderstruck or was it?
Money Talks.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Money Talks. You can't.
That was my best Brian Johnson impression there.
Not bad at all. That's a solid 7 out of 10, man. That was very good.
Ooh, I got to work on it.
I think you hit on the point here when it comes to calling out your players like he did or any of that. I'm all for motivation. I think that you... especially when it comes, our own military has learned this, that the greatest way to motivate people is not only support, but constructive criticism.
Well, they've learned that over after, what, the 70s and 80s, when they basically switched how they did boot camp.
Yeah.
And son of a Marine. The Marine Corps was the last one, and they're still not the nicest.
Yeah, they're still, and not the son of, but the grandson of two Marines. I'll agree with you on that one. And talking to both of them when they were still with us and everything about the changes in the military, this is only going to enhance our military, make our members stronger, make our make the strongest army and the strongest military in the world stronger, which is a positive, but also something the college football coaches should probably be paying attention to, because this is the way you reach these kids now and motivate them. And it really always was. There is very few people that are, a guy is going to go through a brick wall for you to play. It's not so much about you, man, and what you're saying. This is his passion. He's been doing this since he was a little kid. This is how he makes a living. There's a lot of factors in there outside of you just, you know, talking down to him and, you know, kicking dirt in his face and everything. The Mike Gundy kind of approach, I see that as the dinosaurs in the sport.
Right. And, you know, I can make another AC/DC reference of motivation that I cannot say on the air, but you know, it's three words, Full Metal Jacket. My dad, my dad was still around, we watched that movie once together, and he says it was Arlie Ermey as the drill instructor and all that.
Yeah.
All that. Yeah, you know that.
Oh, he's so good.
And you know what? He says that was accurate, but it was still a lot nicer than what my dad enlisted in that Vietnam era. So he's like, Arlie Ermey, that was pretty accurate, but he was still a lot nicer than what I saw and heard and did.
Looking at our schedule again next week, again, the Luke Fickell Show on Wednesday. We'll have that for you right after Playmakers. On Friday, jam-packed day, we'll have Playmakers from 5 to 6. We'll lead you right into Wisconsin Badger football hosting Western Michigan. That will kick off at 6. On WIRI, we're going to have some high school football for you. Pep and Alma against Assumption High School. Randy, Mike, Seth going to be covering that for you. Yeah, looking forward to that one.
It should be a good one.
It's going to be fun. And again, we're excited about college football season. Looking forward to that. Got about a minute left if anybody wants to call in and join us. I'd love to hear from you. But I think one of my favorite things about a season like this when it comes to college football is there's so many outliers, so many different things.
Parody.
That, you know, who knows what direction anything is going to go in or who's going to be in that final four, those final two, when it comes right down to it. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of hope if you're a fan of almost any team that has some, you know, decent possibilities to it.
All the new conferences, Texas, Oklahoma, SEC, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, USC, Big Ten. There's so much parity. Anybody can win. You got your favorites, but anybody could win.
I got to admit, I'm definitely going to be paying attention to seeing how Texas and some of these teams do in the SEC and how that develops, how that plays out.
Yep.
Very similar, not as much, but because it's my division, I'll be paying to the Big Ten and how USC and Washington do.
Yep.
But I'm not as concerned on that, I'm not as interested as I am. Man, how is Texas, Oklahoma, how are they going to survive in the SEC? How is that going to go? And could they have an opportunity? Because I think, if not this year, down the line, I love the idea of seeing one of those teams running the SEC. Yep.
I think they're going to play spoiler more often than not.
Yeah.
But there's going to be times with that new recruiting base that they have. And it's not even new. I think they're going to be all right.
Fantastic show today, Michael. Thanks so much for joining us, man. And appreciate the coverage yesterday. Nice work.
Hey, appreciate it, man. It's just all for the kids.
We'll be back next week with more. Shout out to the best callers and listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next Monday with more. Big thank you to Quality Post Printing, getting your words out and sponsoring this show. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR.